It's our pleasure, as always, to bring our apple expert fresh from the orchard, following WWDC, that's the Worldwide Developers Conference that began at the beginning of the week. Cal Carson is not in studio with us right now, but faithful reporter that he is going to be giving us his perspective on the Apple announcements that were made this week from Atlanta, Georgia, where he's at right now. Hi, Cal.
Hey, Foster. How's it going today?
Very well, sir. Glad to have you on here. And as always, I know that you've got some fresh perspectives on Apple and the announcements that were made this week. I tell you what, let's start with just kind of an overall perspective on this. What did you think of this WWDC compared to past ones?
I can say one thing for certain. WWDC takes place on the West Coast, and we're in the East Coast. So we don't actually start seeing it until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It starts at 10 o'clock out there. And every year, unless I happen to be off work, which is hardly ever during this time, I can never get a chance to see the whole keynote. But this year I was very lucky. I saw all minus 15 minutes of it, which was really wonderful because it lasted almost 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I know.
It was chock loaded.
It was marathon. This is one of the longer ones, isn't it? Or actually, they've all kind of gotten around the 2 hour length, I think, in the past as well. Did I hear you say it was shock loaded?
No, chock loaded.
Oh, shock.
Yeah, I did not. I found no shocks in this particular one at all. It came out pretty much the way I expected it to. Everyone was saying, well, maybe they'll say something about the iPhone. Mm. And I'm going like, you're not going to hear anything about the iPhone until September or so, because that's when they traditionally talk about it. And there was no real talk about the iPhone other than the fact that they talked about iOS 11, which is coming in December. And that will affect the iPhone, of course. And they showed some of the talked about some of the possible features that are going to happen with it. It's going to help with the iPhone, but it's going to totally change or really be a monumental change for the iPad. And that was really good. One of the things they talked about in it that's really cool, with the iPad, with iOS 11, you'll be able to do drag and drop between applications, which is a pretty big thing. So if you were working on something in Photoshop, and then you want to take that something and move it, let's say, over into a web development package that you were doing on it, you can literally drag and drop it into that application.
Wow.
And that's a big game changer, because being able to move in between applications and do that sort of thing saves time and money.
Cal, is it fair to say that Apple is doing its best to kind of push the iPad into with the iPad Pro into a place where it's competing with things like Microsoft Surface?
I believe so. And a matter of fact, in some ways, I think it's creating even more of a niche of itself, in the sense that in addition to it becoming a business tool and being able to run business-like applications, Excel and PowerPoint, where they have Keynote and that sort of thing on the iOS side, it is a highly creative tool for creative artists, graphic artists, to be able to create things on it that are very, very impressive. They did some demonstrations that were just absolutely mind-blowing with the iPad, especially in the gaming world as well. And those things are really starting to sit out really extremely well. Matter of fact, there was one where they were using the iPad and augmented reality, which was just awesome. You would actually you'd use the rear camera on the iPad, and let's say you focused it on a table, and then you could take tools and place a coffee cup on the table. And then as you moved your iPad around at that table, it would reveal the different sides of the cup, the shadows. You could change how they drop, the whole shooting match. It was really impressive.
And these are all things that are being developed for iOS 11, right?
Correct.
Now that, for the sake of the audience as well, iOS 11 is the operating system for the mobile devices. That'd be like the iPhone and the iPad, am I right?
Correct, yeah. The iPhone and iPad, and iOS 11 interacts with WatchOS, which they also announced a new version of that as well. And WatchOS is the operating system that runs on the watches that allows the phone and the Apple Watch to talk to each other. And they've got a lot of new features with that as well.
Talk about some of the hardware that popped up at Apple's WWDC this week.
Well, let's go back to the iPad. The iPad Pro now comes in two configurations. It came in two configurations before, which is like almost a 12-inch one that's been around for a while. And then it also came in like a 9-inch size. But for some reason or another, the 9-inch size needed a little expansion. So they've dropped the 9-inch size, and they came out with a 10.5-inch size for the iPad Pro. So you get it in the 12, and you can get it in the 10. That extra bit of real estate was really gathered a lot by the fact that the side bezel is much, much thinner on that new iPad Pro, so it gives you more screen area to work with.
Yeah, much more
and
real estate.
That was the biggest thing in the iPad arena.
Mm-hmm.
What got me excited more than anything else is when we got into the Macs, because they came out with just a boatload of new Mac product. We have a new MacBook, which is faster. It's got some speed bumps and stuff like that, and it runs quicker. The same with the MacBook Pro, got speed bumps, and that's running faster and has nicer screens to it. What really got me excited was two of them. One was the new iMacs, which are just incredible.
Yeah.
The screens are all the 4K screens now.
Oh, my.
And the price point, you can get into a 21-inch iMac with a 4K screen starting at $1,300. And the processors are a lot faster. They're now taking laptops, taking advantage of the new Kaby processors
that they came out with. Yeah.
And so those are in the new iMacs. They're also in the new MacBook Pros as well, and the new MacBooks. So they're using those processors in most of the machines. They're putting larger hard drives into the iMacs. Matter of fact, SSDs are coming in just about all of them now. And then if you want to get more space and have some SSD capability at the same time, they're going with larger fusion drives up to 3 terabytes in size.
Wow.
So it's great. I was really excited about that. And I was cranked up about that in itself and some of the things they were showing until they turned around and said, oh, we have new iMac Pros.
Cal, that was almost the Steve Jobs one more thing.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Talking with Cal Carson. He's calling us from Atlanta, Georgia, where he's on assignment for another project that he's involved with. But we're talking about the WWDC and the Apple reveals this week. And it's kind of like, you know, we should have a drum roll, I think, for this one, because there was a huge announcement about the new iMac Pro.
Yeah, and this iMac Pro, the baseline one to start off with, has got 8 cores in it. So you got 8 processing cores in that machine.
Wow.
But your top of the line one has 18 cores. And so it can just blaze through just about anything. I mean, if you're creating animation or that sort of thing, it's going to be so smooth and flawless looking. I'm in the business, and I go like 11 teraflop. I don't know what that really feels like, but I know it's fast. So, you know, those sort of things that are out there available for you. You can put, they can take more memory right inside of the machine itself, up to 128 gig.
Yeah.
So 3D modeling and that sort of thing, things that people are doing with a pro size type machine, they'll be able to do. And a lot of people had said in the past, you know, I'd like to be able to take advantage of the beauty of that big iMac screen, but they're not fast enough. They're not at a pro level. Well, now they are. And in addition to that, even if you've got a 27-inch iMac Pro sitting there, you go like, I need some more. Well, you can hook up to 2 5K displays to that existing iMac. So now you got three of them going on at the same time. Amazing. That ought to give you enough screen space to work with.
Yeah, a lot more than I could even imagine. But this is going to be replacing what had been rather derogatorily described as the trash can, which was the original iPad Pro, pardon me, the Mac Pro, which had been brought out with much fanfare. What was it in, was it 3 years ago? I think it was.
Yeah, about three years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, it came out with a lot of fanfare, but, you know, when you bought it, you got that, a keyboard and a mouse, and that was it. So then you still had to get displays and, and external drive arrays and that sort of thing. You can still use your same drive arrays. You can still use your external displays if they're Thunderbolt. But you just get so much more right there on the desktop that you can work with.
You know, and when I saw some of the commentary after the announcements at WWDC, one of the things that struck me was that people are now comparing the MacBook, oh, pardon me, this would be the iMac Pro with Microsoft's Surface. I believe it's the huge screen that they've got. I think it's like 27 inches as well, and has a lot of the same design kind of capabilities. It has a touchscreen, though, I believe, if I'm not wrong. So it looks like that is kind of becoming a pitched battle between those two companies, where before, in many ways, I think, the battle was kind of, you know, the battleground was conceded to Apple.
Yeah, it's possible, but, you know, once again, it's I guess it's the marketing that they do over at Microsoft. Sometimes they'll have something really cool, but God knows where the heck it is because no one ever talks about it.
That's true.
And Lord knows the crowds in the Microsoft stores are such that you got to fight your way in sometimes when they first open.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. Leo Laporte. I don't know if you have noticed, but Leo Laporte, who's a big fan of Mac computers up to this point, has now made a big about face in his I was just watching his Mac Break Weekly, as a matter of fact, and he was essentially saying that he's abandoned the Mac side for the Microsoft side. So it'll be interesting to see if some of those people who I think have kind of slipped away from the Apple camp can be wooed back. What do you think?
You know, I always look at it as, you know, there are people, there's three types of people. There are people who don't care, there are people who do care, and there are people who just kind of flow with the wind. You know, it's like, oh, this looks really nice and shiny, I guess I'll go that way. And I would put Leo Laporte in that category, saying that, you know, he sees something that he thinks he likes, and he's going after it because it's new, it's something different. You know, if you really look at the iMac, you know, it's been evolutionary since its all-in-one beginning. Has it changed completely differently? No. I think a lot of what drug Leo Laporte in that particular direction is something that Apple has decided they're not going to do, and that's the touch screen interface on a desktop computer. They're not going that way. And they had their reasons, and one of them being from a ergonomic standpoint, that carpal tunnel can be very aggravated on a touch screen on a desktop machine. And also the workflow pattern, how you do your work, reaching up to a screen means you have to take your hand off the mouse or your hand off the keyboard to do such.
Yeah.
Well, if you're the type of person that does a lot of keyboarding or you do a lot of mousing, that's going to break your workflow up, where if you're a touch screen type person, I guess from birth, then I guess it works out really well for you.
Now, Cal,
the reason why they created the touch bar on the new MacBooks is because it still gives you a touch interface, so you can do some things that you would do on a touch screen, but you don't really have to leave the keyboard to do it.
Maybe this is a final question for you. We're talking with Cal Carson from, he's in Atlanta, Georgia right now, talking about his analysis of the Apple announcements that came out this past week from the Worldwide Developers Conference. Has what you heard and saw at WWDC influenced where you're going to go next with your purchases? Where would, like, I know I bet there's a lot of people listening say, okay, Cal, what are you going to be buying in the near future? Is it going to change your patterns?
If I had not just got a new iMac, the iMac is definitely where I would go. I think it's a great piece of equipment that's out there. I think it's right now at the pinnacle or darn near the pinnacle of its development as it stands in the platform that it is. And it's a good economical value at this time based upon what you're going to get in that particular package. So if I was going to buy anything, the iMac would be the first thing I would look at. And I would probably say the iPad Pro would be the second on that list. But you know something? We've been yakking all this time, and we always talk about what are they going to announce at the developers conference and this and that and that sort of thing. We haven't even talked about the one thing that they announced that we really weren't expecting, and that's HomePod.
Oh, yes, you're right. How could I ever have forgotten? So what do you think? Do you think it's going to be a worthy competitor?
You know, for me, the jury is still out because right now, it's basically, to me, from what they describe, is a Siri-controlled stereo system, and I'm not sure that's enough for me right now to warrant $349.
Yes,
it looks good, even though the HomePod looks interesting when I go into the store to check it out and listen to the fidelity and stuff like that. I think right now my product of choice is still going to be the iMac. I think that's the best thing they got going out right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned the iPad Pro, which I'm very impressed with, and have a grandson who is in med school, and he picked one up, a used one, and it has been wonderful for him because he can load his 50, 60 pounds of textbooks into the iPad Pro and carry them around easily. He can annotate pages. He is just really, really blown away by how efficient that is. One last thing. Do you think that the operating systems, iOS 11?
That'd be iOS. iOS 10 is currently right now. iOS 11 is coming later this year.
And then the new system for the desktop.
You currently have Mac Sierra running right now.
Right.
And Mac High Sierra is coming later.
Right. And there are, is that more tweaks with Mac High Sierra than really substantive changes?
Yeah, a lot more tweaks. They do have some big changes coming in it, but they didn't go into details about it. Mm. And that's coming later on as well to be able to give more interoperability between all the different Apple products as well, and also take advantage of some of the power of the new process.
Yeah. Do you think these two operating systems are eventually heading to a place where there will be one system to rule them all, kind of like what Windows 10 is for Microsoft?
I hope not, because I think that's part of what killed the Windows Phone.
Yes.
There's only a part of what you want to take from that operating system and meld them together. If you try to force a desktop operating system onto a telephone or try to force a phone operating system onto a desktop, I think you lose both ways. But if you take nuggets of it to join them together so that the vital information that you need to pass between the two pass easily and flawlessly, then you go in the right direction.
Now, Cal, you've got a Mac Group meeting coming up this weekend, don't you?
Yeah, June 11th, and we have someone coming in to talk with us, and that would be Joe Kissel, and he's going to talk about his latest ebook. It's called Take Control of Your Digital Legacy.
Oh, yes.
And obviously, a lot of people, me included, for a while, don't think about such things as, okay, I've got a bunch of digital stuff like, old movies and stuff on VHS. Well, now I need to move that forward into some sort of digital type way of being able to retain that information. And then so if you copy them all, let's say, over to DVDs and then later on down the line, DVDs are going to go the way of VHS. So learning how to manage that digital legacy is important. Mm-hmm. And I believe Joe is going to talk about that and so much more. Yeah, at the Birmingham Temple.
Birmingham Temple,
Sunday,
pardon me.
June 11th, starting at 3 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get all the information on it from macgroup.org, or they can link to it off our website,
right,
internetadvisor.net. And you can get all that information. If you come at 2 o'clock, we have a genius table going on
that's
at that
right.
time. You can bring in your computer, sit down, talk with someone if you need to try and get a problem fixed, both hardware and software. And the meeting's open to everybody, including non-Mac people, because there's something to be learned about computers for everybody at our meeting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this business of legacy that you're leaving is important as well. Okay, that's coming up on Sunday, June the 11th, and it's going to be starting at 3 p.m. Thank you so much, Cal, for being with us, for taking this generous amount of time out. We're going to be posting this as a special edition of, or a special segment of the Internet Advisor that people can tap into and listen to your full analysis of the WWDC. In the meantime, you have a good weekend down in Atlanta, Georgia, and we look forward to seeing you back in studio soon.
I'm going to go get myself a mint julep right now and have a good time.
Thanks, Cal. Take care of yourself.